ओम ज्ञान तिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासुदे गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ग्रीटिंग्स फ्रॉम गोविंद कुन। आई ऑलमोस्ट फील लाइक you know, like, what is it? You know, sometimes they have news reporters and this is someone else, someone from, you know, whatever it is, some war front or some special place. So this evening, the class is a little bit special. You probably hear this little competition there from the kirtan that's going on. But what happened is last night I got a call. Are you all still on, or did I lose the phone?
Harbo.
Okay, still on. Okay, I got a phone call from Satchinandana Swami, and I thought that was really kind and merciful, and he invited me to come and speak with his group and have a program out at Govindakund. And I've never been to this place. I can explain to you where it is, but it's quite extraordinary. Some of you remember, Shastri, you must remember this, that little Jagannath temple. And there's a little saint there. And if you remember that story of the Jagannath temple, I think I was with Hari Kirtan. And I gave the guy a generous donation, about 50 rupees. Little sadhu with a very small temple. And then I saw... I'm not sure, maybe it was either Shastra or it may have been Hari Kirtan, someone was with me. And they were going to give it another donation. And I said, I pointed them, no need, you know, because I gave so much. And then the pujari, he said, don't mind, sir. And then he kind of got on my case. He said, don't mind, sir, but that's an offense. And he said, you remember the story of Shukracharya, where he advised Vamana, he advised Bali Maharaj, you know, you better not give those steps to Vishnu. And then the whole story there is that one, if the guru is against Vishnu, even the guru could be rejected, etc. So he said, please, if you stop someone from giving to Vishnu, he said, I don't need the money, but that's an offense. So we gave the donation. But anyway, across from there, there's an old temple. It's actually, I mean, inside it, it almost seems like as big as a football field. But I never went inside. And now I went inside, and it's literally opening a door to the spiritual world. It's an ashram with only about three or four people. Really good. It's a man and his sister, a brahmachari and his sister and his brother, and one of Satchinandana Swami's disciples is here. And it's just a big, open, beautiful courtyard with these surrounding rooms with incredible vision of Govardhan Hill with the tree. And I went up there with Satchinandana Swami, this banyan tree inside, which was Madhavendra Puri's psychic. When Madhavendra Puri came to Govardhan, and he was in such ecstasy, and where Krishna appeared to him. And in the courtyard, which is on the second floor courtyard, Satchinandana set up his deities, and we had a beautiful... anyway, I just finished giving class, and how such anonymous Swami's giving class. Very nice group of people. And it's videoed, and I'll give people the information. He says it goes on the internet somehow, if anybody wants to see it. And I spoke about keeping Vrindavan sacred. I remember when His Holiness Satrupmarch came many, many years ago, about 15 years ago. And at that time, so many disciples came, and everyone wanted to see him. And he was feeling at that time it was a little bit disturbing. And he spoke to Satchinandana Swami. And Satrupmarch later told me this, and Satchinandana Swami gave him very good advice. He said that when I come to Vrindavan, I keep it sacred. And Satchinandana is very expert at keeping Vrindavan sacred. It means for him, Vrindavan is only the holy name. And you don't even know generally where he is. That's why I was so happy to see him. And generally he's in Barsana or someplace chanting him. I left just before Satchinandana was speaking, and he was speaking about the holy... water just dropped. One second, I got to clean something up. Sitting on a old wood bed. They put a glass of water on it for me. And these Vaishnavas here, it's just really, you know, Prabhupada said, Vaishnava is not ordinary thing. These people are just so pure. I mean, they just live out here and they serve the Radha Gopinath deity. Satchinandana, I guess he wanted to stress, first I spoke and he began speaking how Vrindavan is sacred. And therefore, the only activity that he does practically when he comes to the Dham is chant the holy name. And he wanted to make the point that in his own life, he was so, you know, he's very sincere. He didn't say he was sincere, but I can see how sincere he is. And sincere means you want to change the consciousness. That's what sincere is. You're not satisfied with consciousness based on false ego. Rather, you lament through all the mistakes one has made based on false ego, just like Lord Brahma, he stole the cows and the calves of Krishna, and then Krishna revealed to him that you're so proud that look who you tried to cheat. You tried to cheat the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then Krishna manifested himself by his supreme mystic power and all the cowherd boys and all the calves with all their proclivities and dress, and it was the supreme mystic power. And then Lord Brahma became humble. And then Lord Brahma became humble. Someone is not muting their phone and we hear into your house, please. He became very, very humbled, and he prayed, and basically he said, who am I? He said, who am I? I'm just like my universe, which is so big, it's a hex atom. Just like through a screen in a certain type of light, you can see these little dust particles. They're hex atoms. They're insignificant. He said, just like that, the universe is pouring through your pores of your body, O Krishna. And who am I? And who are you? And that's the realization we have to come through when we see on the basis of false ego, any mistakes we made, it's on the basis of false ego. We're seeing ourselves as the center, and we're seeing that the world according to our own desires. And therefore, when you see the world according to your own desires, then you transgress the desires of others and you offend them. So change of consciousness means to get rid of that self-centeredness. So Satchinandana was saying, you know, his life means he wants to change his consciousness. And he was saying, he tried so many things, but the thing that is most effective is chanting the holy name in the Dham. And he said, because the Dham, the holy name, pierces the innermost core of your heart when chanted with the attempt to clear offenses. And he gave one story. He had just visited Mankutir in Barsana. And he said, they had a parikram. And when they have their Braj Mandal Parikram for 40 days, the Mahant there, Mesh Babi, he's a great saintly person. He takes 10,000 people out on parikram. And one lady came from Delhi, and she died in the parikram, and they called her family in Delhi as the body was laying there. They couldn't burn the body until the family came, and Mesh Babu was very attached to Kirtan. And told everybody to begin chanting Kirtan, and had a rousing Kirtan, and then somehow or other, it appeared that she came back to life, whether they had mistaken her for having died, but they thought, anyway, they had doctors there, and that was the prognosis, and somehow or other she comes back to life and she joins the Kirtan. But the point he wanted to make is, philosophy is nice, but in that condition, what can affect the soul? The celebration of the holy name. So I kind of left in the middle of this class, and that's what he was sharing. And it's also so nice to come to the Dham and seeing old friends and old devotees. I was very moved by meeting Jagadish Prabhu, formerly Jagadish Maharaj, who, when I came to Krishna consciousness, he was my first GBC, and I worked under him for many years. And in fact, the first Bhagavad Gita that I got, or the unabridged edition, is when he was married, he was getting the deities of Radha Shira Gopinath from Toronto, and they had just one day to drive down from Toronto and go to the New York Harbor, get the deities and bring them back. And when I was in college, I was already kind of practicing Krishna consciousness, but not yet fully committed. And somehow, by the divine arrangement, I met them in the student union. And they stayed at my house, and they gave me a Bhagavad Gita. And then, Jagadish, he left the sannyas ashram, and a lot of it is because his son, and imagine how tragic this is, his son was in Vidyanagari, and after he took sannyas, in those days, I guess, sometimes we took prematurely, or I can't describe to you how fired up we were, and in that passion, so many mistakes were made, and Krishna consciousness also spread. People got benefit, but you can imagine. I mean, Keshava Bharti, he took sannyas when his son was four. It was just a kind of like a revolutionary mood, and I guess in the passion of youth, mistakes are made that we later regret. But Jagadish's son fell from a tree, and he became a paraplegic. So you can imagine how burdensome that is on someone's mind. You're sannyas ready for so many years, and then you hear your son, is paraplegic. And so I guess in the last 10 years, he returned to take care of his son. And he was describing, to take care of a paraplegic, it's really a lot of physical work, and now somehow or other, I guess because of the economy in America, whatever it is, but his son shifted to Canada where he's well situated, and they, even the caretaker, where they have nice caretakers for him and friends, and he's kind of, so he got to come back to Vrindavan again, and Krishna does things for a reason, but it was so refreshing to see him. No ego, without pretension, so innocent, and also such a deep thinker. And the first day he was here, you know, he humbly couldn't believe that Krishna would ever allow him back to the Dham. And then I took him to Radhakund, and we were, I mean, the weather is just so ideal, and we were just waiting very, very respectfully, sitting with the water up to our necks, praying deeply. And it was just so refreshing to be with him. And you know, in a humble way, hear his deep insights into life and into rededicating himself fully to Prabhupada's mission. So, really, really edifying to see how deep it is what Prabhupada has given. And even if someone, by circumstances, path takes them a little bit away from the fire of Krishna consciousness, still there's so much to learn and how people imbibe life lessons and kind of use the background and foundation of Krishna consciousness that they have to meet the challenges of life and to transform their consciousness. But coming to Vrindavan, so sacred, and I'm learning from Satchinandana Swami, really how serious to take Vrindavan. So that's really nice. I couldn't bring my book with me, but I could say something about the class that, which we're going to get back to the 11th chapter of the 10th canto, and Krishna's returning to Dwarka. And we know from the classes that we had, just let me give a check now because I'm just talking. Are you all still with me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Bol, we're here.
Yes, we are. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. I just, every once in a while, I just need to check. And so this story of Dwarka, you know, Krishna entering Dwarka, and as to refresh your memory, I'm writing something now, which I'll send out soon, called The Six Ways in Which Krishna Katha Purifies the Consciousness. And one of the main ways that character is transformed is by the association of exemplars in the field of activity which you desire to perfect. It's so powerful on the, you know, you want to be a rock musician, you want to increase your sex desire, then, idolize, you know, movie stars and rock musicians, you know. If you want to be a devotee, you want to be saintly, if you want to be good, then idolize the great devotees. So, the Bhagavatam presents these exemplars of devotion in such an extraordinary way. And we're seeing their hearts as, you know, we spotted our studies at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra as Krishna is leaving the battle of Kurukshetra. And we see how deep is the attachment of devotees for Krishna. It's the supreme attachment, and therefore it's the supreme separation. And we have the exemplars of Draupadi, the exemplar of Kunti, the exemplar of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the exemplar of Bhishma Dev. And we see their hearts, their attachment to Krishna. And then the residents of Hastinapur. We see the ladies of Hastinapur, the chaste ladies going on the roof as Krishna is leaving. And there's Rag, there's attraction. It's spontaneous. It's like an iron and a magnet. There's some pull between them. And there's such a forceful pull between the hearts of the devotees and Krishna, who is all attractive, not just in beauty and qualities, but in heart. I was mentioning today in my class to the devotees how Jiva Goswami says that the supreme supremacy of Krishna is his loving relationships. This is a point I stress again and again. Position does not make you great. Personality makes you great. Because you can have great position and have a lousy personality. You can be very selfish and unloving. So the supremacy of that absolute tattva, that absolute reality, is the supremacy that we actually see in this world. The supremacy of personality, of love, of service, of reciprocation. And we're seeing the heart of Krishna. We saw that with Bhishma Dev, how Krishna wanted to make the arrangement to satisfy the desire of his devotees. And in that loving exchange, how attached the devotees become to him. And the perfection of our life will be a drop of that attraction for Krishna. A real feeling from the heart. Not just an understanding that Krishna is God, an understanding that we should love God, but the actual desire, attraction for God, and the desire to serve Him, and the desire to be with Him, and a very, very strong, single-minded desire coming from the heart. So now, we see that Krishna is coming to Dwarka, and the residents were in deep separation from him in spontaneous love. And they go towards the Lord because he is their shelter. And what is real shelter? Real shelter is where you find love. If you haven't found love, you haven't found shelter. Most wealthy and powerful people in the world, if they haven't found love, they haven't found shelter. Because that's real shelter, because shelter supplies your need. Our ultimate need is for unlimited love. And therefore, the object of our love, and I mentioned this many times, it comes from a verse in the second canto, the object of the love must be real. What is real is God. And the object of our love must be eternal. So there's a real heartfelt natural sentiment, and they're totally dependent on God, just as the eyes are dependent on the sun to see. That's the sense that one has towards the Supreme Absolute Truth, that I have no function without God. I have no life without God. I am not independent. Because what I really require is love. And I require my love to be reposed in an object that can fully reciprocate that love. So they're feeling such relief. And then there's the part we're up right now, I don't have the book, but is a reception. And it's described how wonderful this culture is, that a saintly person comes. And there's so much paraphernalia of beauty and opulence and to receive. And Prabhupada said, such a reception is full of sincerity, both for the person who is being received and the people who are receiving that person. It's full of sincerity. And it shows you this wonderful culture that we should imbibe. And what is culture? I always liked the definition that I read. I forgot the reference. That culture is the purposeful construct of your environment to facilitate communication, loving relations, and learning. And that's the height of culture. And a cultured person is one who, in his dealings, facilitates love, facilitates communication, and facilitates learning. Knows how to relate properly to all sorts of, you think of the person who you think is a very cultured person. I know, and he knows how to relate. I know in Vrindavan, I used to have the very cherished service of going around and inviting to Prabhupada's disappearance the senior Vaishnavas who knew Prabhupada. So I went to one senior Vaishnava and requested him to come, and would he please speak? And he said, no, what will I say? I said, but you were with Prabhupada. Prabhupada stayed with you. You saw Prabhupada. And then he said, I didn't see Prabhupada. He said, just like if you're in the temple and you're with the deities, but you are not cognizant that the deities are God, and you're simply talking frivolously with your friend. Are you seeing Krishna? And so in the same way, even though I was Prabhupada, I didn't realize his position, I did not see Prabhupada. And then he, the lights went out here. I got to see if I can find some light. With the light comes about. So he said, you know, then he started to think. He said, well, I said, what was the quality about Prabhupada? I asked him this question. That you saw in Prabhupada then that looking back gave some indication of what he is now. And then this old, venerable Vaishnav said, well, he mentioned two things. He said, the first thing is, he was very, very bold. And he described some of the letters that Prabhupada wrote to the, even described one play Prabhupada wrote, criticizing one's spiritual mission that ate chicken. Popular spiritual mission. And the title of the play that Prabhupada wrote was The Murky Mission, The Chicken Mission. Thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah, that, what do you got there? Okay, yeah. I feel, thank you. So nice to see lights here. They brought in some flashlights. And then he also described, anyway, he described how bold Prabhupada was. Oh no, some cinemas someplace. And then, oh, you know what it is? It's a band that's coming by. It's actually nice. We've heard some ecstatic kirtans. This looks like it's a wedding procession. It will pass soon. Hopefully. It's getting closer and then it'll go. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Just trying to figure out how to shut off this person's light. So it doesn't. Just give me a second here. I'll get to the second point. And then he said another quality that I remember about Prabhupada was his ability to relate to others. He said when a young child would come, Prabhupada would become very, very affectionate and almost childlike. And when a friend, a person his own age came, Prabhupada could open his heart in joking and friendship. And when someone very old would come, Prabhupada would be very respectful and grave. So there's a way to behave, and a way also to organize the environment that facilitates this wonderful exchanges that open up the best to people. I was speaking to Jagadish, and he was a visionary. Whenever I knew him, he was really ahead of his times in many, many ways. And he was talking about Van Ashram. And when he was talking about Van Ashram, which was Prabhupada's desire, he wasn't just talking about imposing a ancient, you know, culture 5,000 years ago on America, but extracting the principles. And he said one nice thing. He said that he felt that the way to actually do that in a community is, you know, it's not that you tell people what they are, but you create an atmosphere where people are feeling safe and open to look into their own hearts and see where their inspiration lies. He said a lot of times what happens is when people go for counseling, he placed a lot of trust in people, Jagadish was explaining. He said, because really what Van Ashram is people finding out what their role or contribution is to society, especially a spiritual community. And he said people themselves actually know what's best. People know themselves best. And if there's an atmosphere where their own inspirations are encouraged, there's a lot of times it happens, people go for counseling and they get so much advice that it kind of invalidates a person's own inspiration. He said, but if you let that inspiration come out, people will find and be very happy with what their contribution is to society, and then it can be nurtured and developed. And he says, and if a community develops along those lines, it will be very, very attractive to people. Because isn't that what everyone is looking for? People are looking for to find their own inspiration. And not only find their own inspiration, but be in a community that acknowledges it and facilitates that inspiration. That's called empowerment. So he was talking that you really have to create a society where people are feeling empowered. And to do that, they have to be able to be trusted to look into their own hearts and find their inspiration. And then gently it can be guided. So a proper culture does that. It brings out people's best. And we see here Krishna is coming back. The residents of Vrindavan are in such, the residents of Dwarka are in such separation from him. And they're giving him a greeting to facilitate the relationship of affection that comes from a superior. When he sees that there is an expression of faith, and the expression of faith, as it is with the expression of a great many varieties of loving relationships, is manifest in objects. Love, affection is manifest in delicious food that you offer to the person that you love. So when a senior person comes, this whole, the flowers and the elephants and the decorations and the expression of respect and worthiness does something naturally to that person's heart where the affection comes out. And if it's a senior person who's legitimately a qualified, that affection is in terms of so much knowledge and that pours from his heart, and so learning is facilitated, and affection and love is facilitated, and therefore communication is facilitated. So Krishna, these descriptions are there. I wish I could read them. I don't have the book. And then, which is almost a little bit shocking, and Prabhupada has a way of sometimes, you know, bringing out in purports and explaining. We wouldn't think it coming to a spiritual movement, but who comes to greet Krishna? But the prostitutes. The prostitutes come to greet Krishna. And Prabhupada has a whole purport on prostitutes. One, he said, we hate not even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. And he was explaining, and it's a very, very incredible point, that the way Krishna consciousness works is not working on changing people's externals, it's working on changing their hearts. And what makes a devotee is their heart and not the externals. And he said somehow or other these people, it was a necessary position in society, otherwise, you know, married people and families would be broken up by illicit sex, and therefore the prostitute, somehow they have this karma. They served a thing, he said, for rascal men. They wouldn't corrupt society. There was a necessity somehow. But they were devotees. Why utsaha? Because they were so enthusiastic to see the Lord. And this is really the secret of bhakti. Bhakti doesn't work so much on the change of details. The deep analysis of the psyche and all the... Yes, I realize in the modern world, sometimes to take to the simple process of bhakti, there's sometimes some psychological necessities are required in fixing up the psyche, yes. But the basic thing of bhakti and how it works is there's a simple change of identity to the conception that I am a servant. And when that mood is there, that I am a servant of God, then everything else transforms. And therefore, even though such an unfortunate position, these beautiful ladies as prostitutes in society, because in the core of their heart they were devotees of the Lord, then they are accepted as great souls. And that's the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And there's that wonderful verse by Prahlad Maharaj. It's so beautiful, where he says that even if one has 12, he said, even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, swadacho, but he is a devotee of the Lord, which means that he is humble and in the mood of a servant, then that person can deliver the whole world. But if someone has all 12 brahminical qualities, shamod amas the bo dalcham, shantir arjumam abhija, gyanam vijnanam astikam, brahma karmica, even if he has all 12 brahminical qualities, but he's not a devotee, he's independent, he's not humble, that person can't even save himself. And the reason is because if you're self-centered and you don't have the mood of servant, and you have the mood of controller, then everything that you have serves the material need of ego. And therefore, even if you're brahminical, even if you mode of goodness, you're clean, tolerant, self-controlled, it just creates an ego that I'm better than others. And therefore, you can't even save yourself. This is a simple change. It's the Abhideya Tattva. It's the science of bhakti, which is the means of realizing the absolute truth, that it is universal because it's dealing with a change of heart. So if I would love to read the purport, how Prabhupada explains it. And he gives one example of Chintamani, the story of Bilbal Mangala Thakur. He was such attached to a prostitute that at his father's funeral ceremony, he was telling the people, stoke the fire quicker. He was trying to get the father's body burned to ashes quicker so he could run off and see this prostitute Chintamani. And we know that he, you know, it was raining and he went across the river and he grabbed onto a log to get across the river and he saw it was a dead body. And then it was late at night and he was banging on the door and he thought, let me climb on this vine. And he was climbing on a vine and it was a big python snake. And then finally exhausted, he finally got into the house of Chintamani, fell on the floor, and she just looked at him because she was a devotee. Somehow or other, this was her caste, her social situation in society, by some karma. That was her role in society. And she looked at him and she said, you know, if you had the same eagerness for Vishnu, for God, as you have the sex life, you would be a perfected soul. And I suggest that you dedicate yourself to God. And Fernando, you can come up if you want. And if you have the same, then you would be a perfected soul. And Papa made the point to show that even in that condition, she was guru, because she was representing Krishna in knowledge, and Bilbamangala Thakur was in his prayers, because he wrote the Krishna Karnamrita, some of the great books. In his prayers, he always glorified his Shiksha Guru, Chintamani. So that's basically what I remember. Anybody like to say, ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Go.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. It was very clear.
What's that?
No, I was thinking that today it was clear, really clear. Last week, you know, we had a hard time hearing you.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's not the phones. It's not my phone. Not the reception. It's the company. Freeconference.com. That was the problem. Anyway, by Govardhan's grace, we can communicate
today. Yes. Well, how do you know? I just want to know that, you know, if you can, you know, tell me whether this is... hello, Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, yes.
You mentioned that, you know, supremacy is... Krishna is supreme because he reciprocates. And another time, you know, when we had the program, you know, you gave lecture, you told, Jagannath is the highest manifestation of his supremacy. Is it the same thing?
Well, it's the same thing because Jagannath is Krishna in the highest degree of love in Mahaprakash for Radharani. Yes. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya worship Jagannath. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay.
Maharaj?
Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna, this is Rasikya.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna. My obeisances. That was a really wonderful class. I particularly appreciated the thing that Jagadish had mentioned about Varnashram.
Yeah, he has deep realizations, you know.
Yeah, I got to see him last time I was in Alachua briefly, and it was also so nice. And please give him my regards.
I will. I've never seen him because I knew him 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you see how experience is in the world. It was just so sweet.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's so... Anyway, it was great. And he's I asked him how he liked. He says it's just wonderful here, you know.
I bet.
And,
but I was thinking too that very same principle about, you know, empowering people and creating an atmosphere of faith and trust. That's the same thing. Like whenever I would direct a play, it would be trying to make people feel safe so they could experiment with their own feelings about whoever the character was. And the most amazing things would come out because they have it in there. And then having them find it. And then you can add and direct and whatever. But so that was so wonderful. Really inspiring.
It's almost a pet peeve of mine, empowerment.
Yeah.
And empowerment means to acknowledge people's talents. You see what people can offer and facilitate it. And then if it's in the body of some kind of institution or, you know, group, then there are broad parameters by which that inspiration can serve.
Yeah.
But if you start with the parameters first, what you can do and what you can't do, then it becomes very disempowering. So I really think that more and more we need, and I'm just seeing, and it's like that. Everyone does have an inspiration, every person, you know, and they have to be encouraged to find it and senior people who are guiding them and have to, even if they cannot facilitate it, because sometimes it's difficult to facilitate it, at least if they can acknowledge it, then people can become, you know, and Jagadish says wonderful things, you know, happen. He had that experience in Sharanagati when they, initially the temple couldn't maintain the farm.
Yeah.
And he was there at the time, and he just got people together to, you know, find out and express their desires. And they came up with a plan of, you know, individual people buying the land. And, you know, now it's quite a wonderful place with people like Jamuna there and Shaka and Yadubar and other people. So anyway, it was just refreshing to hear. And I really, you know, I think it's so important, and I like your example, your analogy, your example also of even directing the play, how you know, trying to find people's inspiration and how they can relate to the part, and then going with that. Thank you, Rasika. Say hello to Jagadish and say that you sent your regards. Okay.
And also just one more thing, that the whole thing about empowerment is really basic respect.
Basically what?
Respect. The word respecting another living entity is really about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was great. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Rasika.
Yeah, you're
welcome. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say something? Or I'm going to have to go down in a minute or two. I'm watching. I don't want to miss Satchinanda Swami, so...
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare go.
This is Neela.
Who is this?
This is Neela.
Neela. Oh, you know who's
sitting
before me?
Sorry?
Before me on the floor. Right before me on the floor.
Okay.
He's the only person here with me, and he's smiling because he heard his sister's.
I was inspired also by the comment of Rasagya, because you know it refers to my profession, and I really like to approve that what I also, you know, on this analogy of theater directing, that it's exactly this, that so many let's say theater directors, they're trying to make the actors do, you know, force or like do what how they see it, rather than empower them with their own inspiration. So it really, you know, it really touched me. You know what she has said. So I wanted just to join this thought. Yeah.
Thank you, Neela, and I hope that stay on the phone because you can speak to your brother. Okay.
Okay.
Stay on the phone, okay?
Thank you.
I think it'd be really nice one day if somehow you can Rastigya. And Rastigya, Neela is lives in France, and she's a choreographer. And it'd be really nice, Rastigya,
yeah,
my god sister.
Thank you, Neela.
let's look forward to that.
Yeah, maybe one day it'll be, but it's, you know, Rastigya was, she was an actress, and I really liked her acting in New York, and really nice. Good.
Wow.
Great. Anybody else? Yes. Hare Krishna? Anyway, Neil, it was really great to hear from you. Okay? Really nice to hear from you. Just stay on the phone for about 5 more minutes and then you can speak to
okay.
your brother. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay? Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Amiya, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Well, thank you for class.
Anybody else? Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Who's that?
Henry.
Henry, of course. Thank you, Henry. We'll see you soon.
Yes, I'm
in another month.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. It's Samantha and my mom, Betsy.
Samantha, I was just thinking of you today. Thank you. And I was also thinking of Betsy. Great. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Well,
my mom and I enjoyed the Sangha very much today.
Thank you. Okay. Great. So many nice people on today. Anybody else? You should see the sublime atmosphere. This ashram is incredible. I think I'm going to come live here, actually. It's a big, big ashram with so many rooms and this huge courtyard, and no one lives here. Great. Okay, I'm going to have to go now. Who else said?
This is Gail. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh,
Gail?
Gail, okay. Hare Krishna, Gail. Thank you. Great. Okay, I'm going to put Nityananda on for Neela, and then everyone can hang up, or you can listen to them talk in Russian. Okay. Hare Krishna. Guy, glories to Prabhupada. Dhan Shakopa Tarubhya Strakritasvindu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavana.